You're listening to the Grizz Podcast. It's gonna be raw, it's gonna be real, and it's gonna be relevant. We're here to guide, encourage, and equip you to live the manly life that God is calling you to live. It's time for you to step up and man up. That's what God expects, and that's what this jacked up world desperately needs. Now here's our host, itinerant speaker, Jason George.
Yo, what's up, guys? Thank you so much for taking the time to tune in and listen or watch the Grizz Podcast. I hope you're doing well, but if you're not doing well, then you've definitely come to the right place because this is not the podcast for guys who have it all together. Far from it, this is the podcast for Christian dudes just like you, just like me, who realize that they don't have it all together, and we realize that we need help to grow and become the men whom God's calling us to be. This podcast is here to help guide, encourage, and equip you. And it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay for us to stay that way. We have to constantly learn and then take action. We have to constantly be reminded of the things that we know, but we so easily get away from. I know that I do. It's been 5 weeks since I've dropped an episode here on the Grizz Podcast, and that is because I've not been doing well physically, mentally, and even spiritually. I've been having a rough time, and some of it is my fault, and I'm going to share that with you guys in just a little bit. First of all, physically, my health issues have completely flared up over the last few weeks, and that has made my daily pain levels increase. All of you who are regular listeners to the Grizz podcast, you know that for several years now, I've been battling late-stage Lyme disease, and with that, it has brought on other painful health issues like a bad parasitic infection and a condition known as SIBO, which stands for small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. It affects my digestive system, my adrenal system, my nervous system, and for about 4 months now, I have been trying to kill parasites, and that is no quick and easy process. Dude, on the contrary, it has been a long and painful process. I'm going to spare you much of the details about that. I was making improvements around the time that I put out the last two episodes of the Grizz Podcast. Let me grab a sip real quick of my coffee. I'm using my new coffee mug from K-Coast Surf Shop in Ocean City, Maryland, which is where I'm recording at right now. And but anyway, as I was saying, I'm enjoying some Starbucks as usual, and it is a Yukon blend with the grizzly bear on the front. So anyway, I was making some improvements with my health around the time that I put out the last two episodes of the Grizz Podcast, but then something caused a flare-up. And when that happens, it's pretty overwhelming to deal with. There is severe arthritic pain. Lately, it's been my right shoulder, upper back into my right shoulder, down my arm. Like you literally feel like somebody took a baseball bat and just hit your shoulder or your arm, and it's just throbbing, aching, and then it'll mysteriously just go away. Also, migraine headaches. Chronic fatigue flares up when I have a flare up. Insomnia hits, which is frustrating because you're extremely tired, but you can't sleep. There's been, with SIBO in particular, nausea, sharp stomach pain, intestinal pains, rib pain, chest pain. And then there's the cognitive issues like brain fog, trouble finding words, trouble articulating my thoughts, trouble comprehending and just mentally processing. Everything seems so slow and difficult. And I've been trying to prep and record for several weeks now, but when you're dealing with all of that kind of stuff on top of your regular home and work responsibilities, man, it's just impossible, like, to get behind the mic and to even feel a little sharp. You know what I mean? I want to be real sharp when I'm behind the microphone, but just to even feel a little bit sharp, it just feels impossible because you're just not, you're not all there cognitively. You're not hitting on all cylinders. So I don't like it, but when I have a flare up, I really have to focus on my health. I have to give it a lot of attention. When I'm in the middle of a flare up, I have to make sure I'm getting proper rest so that I can just get up and go work my job, doing painting or deck restoration. I was pressure washing this week with my son on a paver patio. We were bringing in polymeric sand to fill in all the gaps and things like that, and been able to work usually about a half a day of physical labor, and then I've got a rest, and then I can go back and do a little bit more. That's just where I'm at right now. So from talking with others who are battling late-stage Lyme disease, parasitic infections, and this thing called SIBO, it's all pretty normal from what I'm being told. It's just par for the course. This roller coaster that I'm on, you do well for a while, and then you either overdo it, or maybe you eat something that you shouldn't have, or you have no idea what happened. It's just wham, like it just hits with a flare up. So remember, guys, for me, this all started with multiple tick bites, getting tick bites every single year because I'm a big outdoors guy. And I was also working landscaping jobs for years, had a small landscaping company for several years. And I blew off all those tick bites. I never got them treated because I never saw a bullseye rash. And I mention all that because it's tick season right now and I care about you guys. I'm not trying to sell you any tick products, don't worry. But you need to be extremely proactive about protecting yourself, protecting your family, protecting your pets from ticks. Always, always, always wear a good, strong repellent when you're in the outdoors. Whether you're working in the yard or you're going for a hike or you're mountain biking or you're fishing or whatever you're doing, I just keep a can in my truck. And when you're done in the outdoors, I recommend that you just strip down, not in front of people, but go shower and thoroughly check yourself. Do the same with your kids. If you do get bit and you pull off a tick, which happened to one of my friends recently, he notified me and said, "Jason, I just pulled a tick off of my ball sack. What do I do?" And I was happy to help him. And my sister-in-law recently texted me and said, "Jason, I just pulled two ticks off of me. They had been on me from earlier in the day, or either yesterday or something." She was in the woods in Virginia. And she said, "What do I do?" Well, I'm going to tell you what I told them. And that is, if you get bit, you pull off a tick, even if you don't see the bullseye rash, even if you don't feel any flu-like symptoms right away, I say go to your doctor and demand a week or 2 week round of antibiotics. Particularly tell them you want doxycycline. I can't stand doxycycline, to be honest with you, but it's some harsh stuff. But right away, it will eliminate anything that a tick may have transmitted to you. And that's why I say just go. And if you're feeling a little bit off when you go to your doctor, show them, you know, you're feeling off. Ham it up, you know, like, "Dude, I'm not feeling right." Like, don't keep it to yourself. Don't try to cowboy up and look tough. Just, "Hey, I got a tick bite. I'm feeling a little bit off." If you got a headache, tell them. Do whatever it takes to get the doxycycline. Don't wait for a bullseye rash. Take that stuff for a week, 2 weeks, whatever you can get them to prescribe. You're not going to like it while you're on it. You may feel pretty rough. Make sure you take a probiotics while you're taking it. But don't wait, man. Don't wait for a flu-like sickness to come on. And don't blow it off. So that's my recommendation. I'm not a medical professional. I'm just telling you from personal experience dealing with chronic late-stage Lyme disease. If I get a tick bite tomorrow, I'm going and getting doxycycline in me right away. But even then, I may still deal with stuff because I already have stuff in me. So I'm real big on it. May was Lyme Disease Awareness Month, but that got overshadowed with COVID-19 and everything else that was going on. But Lyme disease is just a growing epidemic in our country. It's bad. And it may not kill you, but it'll make you wish you were dead many days. Promise you that. So don't take it lightly. That's all I'm going to say about that. Anyway, that is what's been going on with me physically, with my health. But I also mentioned that I've not been doing well spiritually, and I want to talk to you about that as well. Let me grab a sip of my coffee. You know, it took me some time to identify this, to realize that I wasn't doing well spiritually. That's always how it is. Back in the day, one of my professors in college told us that failure in the Christian life is never a sudden blowout, but always a slow, gradual leak. And let me read that again. Failure in the Christian life is never a sudden blowout, but always a slow, gradual leak. That is so true. We slowly but steadily begin neglecting the things that keep us spiritually sharp and on fire for God. And then we eventually find ourselves stuck in a spiritual rut, which is where I feel like I've been, is in a spiritual rut. I feel like that's just been me for the last couple months. And it's no one's fault but my own. I take full responsibility for it, as a man should. But I do believe that this whole lockdown with all of the social distancing rules related to the COVID-19 pandemic has been a major contributor to me finding myself in a spiritual rut. And I'm not the only one that feels this way. I was recently talking with my good friend Calvin about it, and he told me that not being able to regularly meet together with other believers has without question negatively affected him and his spiritual life over the last few months. And this made me think of that passage of scripture in the book of Hebrews that says, let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who is faithful. And let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works, not staying away from our worship meetings, as some habitually do, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now that's Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25 in the English Standard Version, the ESV. In the American Standard Version, it reads like this. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And then in the New International Version, it reads like this. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let me grab a sip of my coffee. I also like how Eugene Peterson's paraphrase puts this passage of scripture. It's called The Message, and it says, so let's do it, full of belief, confident that we're presentable inside and out. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging and be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. The big day approaching, referring to the return of Christ. That's the big day that's approaching. Now, I share that passage of scripture with you in several different translations and even a paraphrase, because what I'm getting at is we as believers in Christ are commanded to not forsake gathering together with other Christ followers for fellowship, prayer, worship, and for Christ-centered teaching. Dude, I don't care if we got to wear masks. I don't care if we got to wear gloves. I don't care if we got to keep a 6-foot distance from each other. I don't care if at the end of our meeting, we all got to be baptized in hand sanitizer. We need to get back to meeting together, period. Merely going online and watching people sing worship songs and then watching and listening to your pastor preach a message is not good enough. It's just not. It's not fulfilling this clear command from Hebrews 10:25. The online thing definitely has its place, and I'm thankful for it. And I think it needs to continue to be available to those who can't meet with their church family, but it's not good enough. Don't fall into this thinking that online church is the wave of the future, and that in and of itself is good enough. It's not. We need more. I need more. You need more. Even if it's just 10 people meeting in a home, it doesn't have to be this large gathering of 300 to 1,000 people inside of a large church auditorium with a stage, lights, and some booming sound system, and projectors and screens. Man, I personally, me, Jason George, I get sick of all that. The older I get, the more I long for the model that we see in the book of Acts, where small groups of believers met together in homes for a meal, fellowship, prayer, worship, and teaching. I long for a more personal meeting where we can truly know each other instead of just sitting in a chair as an audience and just watching and listening to the people up on stage. That's just way too passive. It's way too impersonal, and we need more. Teaching on this passage of scripture from Hebrews chapter 10, Pastor John Piper said this. So let's look at the text to find the answer to how we go about this. He says, verse 24 gives the focus and aim. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Then verse 25 gives us instruction how. It says, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. Two things. First, don't neglect to get together. Second, encourage one another. When I was growing up, I heard this text referred to most often as an argument for regular attendance at worship services. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Come to church regularly. And that is not a wrong application of the text, since one of the most important kinds of encouragements and exhortations that we get is from God, is from the preaching of God's word and the power of God's Spirit. Hebrews 13:22 calls the book of Hebrews a word of encouragement, but in the context, the kind of coming together in view seems to be one where the members of the church, not the people up on stage, encourage one another. Verse 25 is explicit. Come together and encourage one another. The one another implies that there is something mutual going on. One is encouraging another, and the other is encouraging the other. Each is doing or saying something that encourages. If you ask what that corresponds to in our church. He was talking about the church he pastored at the time. He says, I would say the closest thing is small groups. This is why I regard this ministry as so utterly crucial. I'm a great believer in preaching. There is something about the Word of God that begs to be heralded and trumpeted and exalted over, as well as discussed and taught. But I have no illusions that preaching is enough in the life of a believer. Amen. The New Testament, and especially this book of Hebrews, calls us again and again to a kind of mutual ministry that involves all the believers in encouraging each other. So I ask you to take stock of your life. Where are you in verse 25? There are two groups, those who gather to encourage each other and those who have formed the habit of not gathering together. See that little phrase in verse 25? Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some. Non-participation in some sort of a small group can be habit forming. How are you doing? David Livingston is listed on the back of the worship folder as pastor for cell and adult ministries. That means he is there to help you break the habit of non-participation in small groups. God is calling you through his word to break a habit of non-participation and to strengthen a habit of participation in small group togetherness where you encourage each other. It's not the only way to stimulate others to love and good deeds, but it's the way emphasized in this text, end quote, by Pastor John Piper as he was preaching on this passage of scripture, Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. Here's the bottom line that I want to get across to you guys on this episode. What God's teaching me, what I'm learning, what I'm dealing with to get my own self out of a spiritual rut. If we neglect to actually meet together with other Christ followers for fellowship, prayer, worship, teaching, then we are eventually going to slide into a spiritual rut, meaning we will decline spiritually and easily fall back into our old sinful ways of doing life. Our fire for the things of God will eventually die out. None of us are immune to this. I don't care who you are or who you think you are. I don't know about you guys, but one of the things I love in life in this fallen, jacked up world is I love sitting around a campfire with family and friends. I have one of those outdoor, above ground, movable fireplaces on my back deck. I've owned five different houses over the years through my adult life, and I've always had some sort of outdoor fire pit in my yard. That's how much I love them. Anyway, something I've observed about a fire, because I sit there and I watch the fire. I'm looking at it. You know what I'm saying? I'm learning from the fire. Is that a fire does really well when all of the logs stay close together. That's also when the fire sounds the best. That's when it's crack-a-lacking. You know what I'm saying? It's popping. I love it. But, excuse me, here's the thing. If I pull one of those logs away from the other logs, what happens to it? It won't burn for very long. It begins to lose its flame. It'll burn out. It'll smolder. It'll grow cold. And our Christian lives, they're no different. When we are not keeping ourselves in connection with other brothers in Christ, we do the same thing. We lose our spiritual flame. We burn out. We spiritually smolder and grow cold to the things of God. And we begin to fall back into our old sinful ways of doing life. I know all about this. Been there, done that. Again, this is why God commands us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So this week, what did I do about it? I didn't just keep whining and complaining, pouting about it. Woe is me. What am I going to do? I'm in a spiritual rut. I didn't blame anybody. I had to take care of business. I made a decision to get myself back in a weekly small group for men. And I also reached out by phone to two close friends, and I shared with them what I've been going through lately in my personal life, in my marriage, in my family. This week was one of the suckiest weeks for me in my life. I mean, I felt like throwing in the towel as a husband, as a dad. And here's the thing, isolating and bottling it all up, that wasn't helping me. I needed to get it out. I needed connection. I needed to come together with my brothers in Christ, and I needed to be known what's really going on. I needed that encouragement from them, that mutual encouragement that we get when we come together. I needed to share the good, the bad, and the ugly about the Grizz. And you need to do the same with whatever you're going through. Isolating and bottling it all up is not going to help you. If you don't get some consistent connection, I'm telling you, you're going to end up turning to something sinful and destructive to try and cope with the stresses of life. And maybe you've already done that. If you have, that's okay. I'm not here to judge you. What you need to do is confess that. You need to bring that to the light, and you need to get back into connection with a group of Christian brothers. Even if it has to be some sort of weekly online Zoom meeting format or something like that, if you know your church doesn't offer anything. A way that you can do that, if your church, your local church, doesn't offer any kind of small group meeting for you to be part of, is you can go to smallgroupsonline.com. That's a way to get involved in a small group online with other brothers in Christ. If you have fallen to porn particularly and you need some small group connection that really deals with that, and also you need some coaching with that, then check out Rev Group Coaching with my good friend Matt Dobschutz, the Dobber, at recoveredman.com. Now, I've asked Matt to come on this episode of the podcast and tell you about Rev Group Coaching. I don't get any kind of kickback from this. This is not some commercial that's going to benefit Grizz in some ways. This is just for you, to help you, because I care about you, because I get that kind of thing. I know, I understand it. All right. Dobber, tell them what's up, man.
What's up, Grizz Tribe? This is Matt Dobschutz from Chicago, Illinois. I'm the host of Porn Free Radio, the podcast for motivated guys who want to quit looking at porn. And, you know, I was thinking about Grizz, and I was thinking about him talking just about his own challenge with social distancing leading to kind of a spiritual rut. And I think we think social distancing is new, this concept. But guys have been doing it since the beginning of time. Guys get in patterns and habits of isolating. I mean, think about Adam in the garden after the fall. He is, what does he do? He hides. He hides from God and kind of tries to cover himself. And if we're not careful, when we fall into a spiritual rut, that's exactly what we do. We isolate, we pull away. C.S. Lewis said that the main work of life is to come outside of ourselves, outside of the dark prison we're all born into. And things to be avoided is anything that turns us back and sends us back into the prison. You know, the things like masturbation, fantasy, pornography, those things don't help us. They actually create more loneliness and disconnection. But it's hard to get help. It's hard to get, say, you know, to have a safe place where you can practice being honest, where you can really press into connection, especially when you feel isolated and cut off. And I did a survey a couple of years ago of my audience, and I said, hey, what's your biggest problem with pornography? And you might think, oh, well, people would talk about certain websites or certain temptations or certain devices. But you know what people said most of all? They said things that had to do with relationships. I have difficulty letting people into this part of my life. I have difficulty being honest about my struggle. I struggle making commitments and following through. You know, when you make a commitment, you need to make a commitment to somebody, right? It's not just that you just sort of resolve in your own self to do something. It's you need to make a commitment usually before someone else. So, because, you know, the temptation is to let yourself off the hook if it gets hard. You know, it's hard to find safe people. You know, I've heard guys say that they feel like they're the only one in their circle who really wants to be free. A lot of people are just passive. A lot of people have sort of given up recovery, given up living differently. They've just sort of accepted this. This is the new normal. Just, you know, deal with your stress, deal with your feelings of loneliness, deal with your rejection, deal with feeling unlovable or not good enough by going to Netflix, going to YouTube, going to some other porn sites, right? Binging a little bit, snacking. But, you know, what's the outcome of that? Well, C.S. Lewis said that the danger of it is that we come to love the prison. We get so entrenched in meeting our own needs in isolation that we start to just love the prison. We don't leave the prison. The door could be open to the prison. Be free, go out, connect. And we're staying in our cell. So Grizz wanted me to put together an offer for the Grizz tribe. And one of the most powerful things I do every week is I lead four groups called Rev groups. They meet at different times. And maybe there's a time that works for you. And it's a chance to be in a group where you can't hide, where honesty is part of the program, and where there's a shared investment. It costs money. It's not free. You know, a lot of groups are free, and people aren't that committed. There's a shared commitment in this group. Everyone is rowing in the same direction. Everyone's on the journey together. So there's some powerful guys in the group who are going to be able to connect with you, and maybe at a level that you haven't connected with in the past. And so, you know, I'd consider doing a Rev group. And the way you can sign up for a Rev group is to go to recoveredman.com/rev. That's recoveredman.com/REV. Now, when you fill out the little thing, just mention Grizz somewhere there. When you answer a couple of the questions, just put the Grizz in there. And if you forget, that's okay. When I reach out to you and let you know what groups are open, just let me know that you're part of the Grizz tribe, and I'll give you $100 off your first month in Rev group coaching. And so, you know, maybe that'll motivate you to take action. And I hope it does, because, you know, we're living in a challenging time right now. Some of the connection that we took for granted before, you know, some of those men's groups at church, getting together for coffee with the guys, hanging out, those things have been more challenging the last few months. You know, as far as I know, in Illinois here, we still can't sit in a coffee shop. And I was thinking, man, I miss the bar stool, right, at the tavern. I want to watch a couple Bulls games, hang out with my guys, you know. Right now, can't do that. It's a challenge. So, you know, we've been doing our Rev groups through Zoom for 5 years. We're not new to the Zoom game. We got it down. So we totally build connection, though. You're going to meet guys in Rev from all different parts of the world who are committed to one thing, going porn free and doing it with other people. So if you're interested, go to recoveredman.com/rev. Tell me that you're part of the Grizz tribe for $100 off. And I'd love to connect with you and help you come out of that prison. Come out of that prison and meaningfully connect with some other guys. All right? Be good. As I like to say at the end of my podcast, take hope, take action.
Hey guys, my name is Matt, and I'm a listener of the Grizz podcast. Jay asked me to share a little bit about my story related to my porn addiction, getting serious about repentance and recovery, and the upcoming one-year anniversary of being porn-free. I'd like to take this opportunity to share my experience with you, and thanks to Jay in advance for giving me the chance to do it. My first exposure to pornography happened right around 15 years old. I was changing out a VHS tape in my parents' bedroom. That's right, VHS. And quickly realized that the tape within the player was lesbian pornography. I was immediately mesmerized. I grew up in a Christian home where pornography wasn't really discussed, and when I found this, I felt a bit conflicted. I knew the Bible talked about lust being sinful, but I also felt like since my parents had this tape, maybe it wasn't that bad. I quickly found that pornography satisfied temporarily the raging hormones of an adolescent male, and continued this use as I began dating my future wife. I quickly found myself in the heat of an internal battle, knowing that I should be maintaining sexual integrity, but also caught up in a mechanism that allowed me to cope with many insecurities. I carried this disease into marriage and hid the addiction well. Communication with my wife suffered greatly. Selfishness invaded my life. I was unsatisfied with my finances, my job, and my worldly possessions. There were several extended periods of time where I was clean, then fell back into the addiction because of a lack of honesty with myself and an unwillingness to repent. I certainly told God I was sorry on several occasions, but never did what was necessary to truly come clean. It took intervention from the Lord to change my heart. On June 18th, 2019, I was caught. I won't go into details, but I will tell you that it was the most shameful moment of my life. I realized at that point that I never again wanted to see the disappointment, hurt, and sadness in my wife's eyes that I saw that day. The pain I saw in her face will stay with me until my last days on earth. Thankfully, she forgave me, and we went to counseling together, where I opened up about the addiction and other areas of my heart that needed repair. I learned about how pornography had rewired my brain and how it had affected me physically, mentally, and spiritually. I developed a battle plan. I took steps of accountability by checking in with godly mentors on a daily basis and installing accountability software on my electronic devices. I began the process of repentance and renewal by journaling, studying the Bible, and taking a hard look at the man that I had been and the man I wanted to be. I actively engaged in a recovery group with other men that had been addicted to pornography and were clean. I found that I was not alone, and that while Christ provided the ultimate form of security, these men were on the same mission that I was, and I found significant comfort and community with them. Over the course of the last year, there have been several difficult moments that I have faced where the possibility of relapse was presented, but I look back on them and know that I did not face them alone. My established routine of time with the Lord and consistent accountability has allowed me, through Christ, to overcome those challenges. Staying clean from porn has dramatically changed me. It's given me better clarity on important daily decisions like how I'm spending my time or what I can do at home to be a better father. Things that matter for the kingdom. My relationship with my wife has never been better. I'm a better father to my children. I'm a better student of God's word. I've become an accountability partner for several other men who battle porn. I understand this sin because I let it control me for over 15 years, and now know what it takes to overcome it. I don't say all this to pat myself on the back, but say it because life on the other side of porn addiction is better. There is more joy, more peace, and more satisfaction you will find in victory than any temporary satisfaction porn might offer. I will tell you that if you are battling this sin, you are not alone. Victory comes through Christ, but it comes at a cost. You must be willing to put the time, dedication, and discipline into overcoming this disease. It will need to be rooted out of your system. I know that if porn has its grip on your life, you feel like you're in the octagon being choked out by a better fighter, and you keep trying to break out of the submission but can't do it. I will tell you that submission to Christ brings true victory. Changing your heart gives you the win. It has to happen daily, but everyone has a day one. If it hasn't started yet, it can start tomorrow, but the choice is yours. Have a battle plan. Know that you aren't alone. Let's overcome this together through Christ, for victory is truly found through Him.
Been listening to the Grizz Podcast, an outreach of Narrow Trail Ministries Incorporated. If this podcast has been helping to guide, encourage, and equip you to live the manly life that God's calling you to live, then please consider partnering with us by giving a tax-exempt donation to our nonprofit ministry. Your financial gift will help us continue to improve and expand our impact around the world. You can make your secure online donation at thegrizzpodcast.com. Now, it's time to take what you've learned and chew on it. And then you need to step up, man up, and go live it out. Grizzin, you know what I'm saying.
What we do in life echoes in eternity.